What if I told you weight loss is not about willpower, cutting carbs, or working harder in the gym, but instead comes down to flipping a specific switch in your body, one that helps flush out unnecessary calories? Heart surgeon and nutrition expert Dr. Stephen Gundry is revealing a new, simple, but insanely effective way to help get a slim, energized, and healthy body with no deprivation, restrictions, or fads. MCT Wellness can help you flip that switch yourself from the comfort of your own home. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. All you do is add a scoop to water and enjoy. Help unlock your body's potential by going to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin, too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF, Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
This is That Twin Mama Podcast. But hey, you don't have to be a twin mom to be here. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. So whether you are new, soon to be, or seasoned parent, or maybe you just hope to have kids someday, I promise you'll find something to love, learn from, or laugh at in each episode. I'm your host, Lauren Birdie. Let's do it.
Yo, yo, your girl Lauren here. We're back with a hot topic today, y'all. It's a topic that we've actually discussed on the podcast before, and it's one that you all have asked for more on. And that's my tummy tuck. Y'all want to know about the tummy tuck, and I get it. I wanted to know about the tummy tuck before I got the tummy tuck, and ain't that many people talking about the tummy tuck, okay? Or people are saying, oh, it's just water. A diet and exercise. I'm like, bullshit. Y'all got a tummy tuck, and you ain't saying it. Or you call it, like, something else, right? Like, diastasis recti surgery, which it is, but that's more. So anyways, today's episode is talking about my experience with my tummy tuck, how I got it, how I got insurance to cover part of it, why I got it, what I wish I considered before, during, and after. We're going to talk about all that good stuff. And if you're interested in what it looks like to have it, like a doctor consultation about it, my previous episode, I think it's like episode 4 or so, with Dr. Gabe, goes into that. He's a doctor out of Beverly Hills, does these procedures all the time. And essentially, if you listen to that one, it's going to be exactly what you get in a consultation with the doctor. So if you're interested in more of the medical procedure and all those gritty details that they can get into, go to that one. But this one is more just me spitting my knowledge based on my experience, like I'm kicking with my friend, like, girl, this is what you should know. Okay. So I'm excited for this episode. It's also very, I wasn't going to do one, but A, yes, y'all wanted it, but B, like, there's been so many as of late, and I know we're getting towards Christmas and Thanksgiving, so maybe tis the season, but I'm getting so many brand inquiries from, like, really, like, kind of, like, diet culture, diet pills, like, injections. They're targeting moms for losing weight. And to the point where my team and I, first of all, I don't ever push anything that I haven't tried before. And second of all, I just find them very corrupt in a way and, like, exploitative. They're looking for moms because they know that we are vulnerable about our bodies. And they're trying to push products that are not healthy. And it pisses me the F off to the point where my team and I have come up with a message that we send back for my no. And I don't care what the price is. If it's something that's going to harm people, like for real, I can't, my integrity won't let me push it. But we come because I want to say, F y'all, get the F. You know, I wanted to say all that to them. But we came up with something to say back that just says, hey, no, answer is a solid no. And this is why, and y'all are messed up and you should really think about this. And I think that this is, like, actually, like, immoral. So all that to say, I've been getting a lot of those lately, and I was like, that's not my brand. That's not my, that's not what I want to be associated with. But they do want to also recognize that they realize there is a vulnerability in the mom audience. I'm a part of that audience. And I also recognize that there is a ton of questions for me around my body after my twins. So I was never going to lie and say I did. Like, I will just always tell you the truth, right? I'll get into my journey about what I did. I've always been very active and I've eaten pretty healthy, like, throughout my life during pregnancy and after. But the tummy tug is what makes my stomach look the way it is. Like, I'm not going to lie and be like, I am active, yes, but also my skin would never look tight again. You can't diet your exercise your way back to different skin, right? That it comes from a tummy tuck. I've had other creators I talked with that I was trying to get to do interviews with, and they didn't want to name or acknowledge that they had a tummy tuck. And I was like, okay, I ain't going to gatekeep and I ain't going to lie. So this episode is really just going to be around that. I also lastly want to just, I'm timing it with last week I had Jess King, shout out to her, from Peloton, who's an amazing person in the fitness industry. And next week I'm having Ashley Now of Get Mom Strong, who some of you all might be familiar with. She is also a twin mom. She's like a certified exercise specialist, especially around diastasis recti. And both women are doing, I think, fabulous representations of what positive like exercise and health consciousness can look like for mothers, right? And I also wanted to, in between those, just also give my perspective as someone that's not a professional, but this is my journey. So I hope y'all enjoy this, but I'm going to answer all the tea, okay? Let's start with the first question that everybody wants to know. Well, actually, let me back up. I'll tell you, in case you don't know, how I got to the decision of getting a tummy tuck. So briefly, I had to do with my birth. So pregnancy for me, I got to 38 weeks and 2 days with my twins. So I was fully cooked. The girls came out 6.5 pounds each, all right? And then my twin B came out breech, my butt first baby, okay? Twin B breech butt came out and she pretty much destroyed my pelvic bone. Yeah, I always say she broke my pelvic bone. I was in the hospital for almost 2 weeks after that because I couldn't walk. So this is all to give you context as I did exercise during my pregnancy. I was during COVID, but I've always been pretty active and I was doing like at home, like a Beachbody bar, you know, like things like that to do strength exercises all throughout my pregnancy. I wasn't doing pelvic floor like specific. I didn't have a pelvic floor specialist before or after birth, which I kind of wish I did. But this is all to say I was in a very, my pelvic bone after birth was very, very vulnerable. It was very weak. It was broken. So after that, I did like as much exercise as I could with newborn twins, but I did actually make a conscious effort to have some sort of moving every day or every like a schedule every week, like after I had babies. However, I did not see the results that I thought I'd be getting. Like, granted, I did have something to compare it to. So I had Jackson when I was 23. A, I was 23. B, it was only one baby and I had energy. I was 23. That's two reasons in the three because it's very important. I had energy of the gods. My body was younger and I bounced back just was like ridiculous, which I didn't realize at the time, right? 34, having the girls, there's two of them. One was breached and broke me. And again, I'm 34. All these factors come into play when you are thinking about your recovery postpartum, right? So for me, I was doing all the things. I thought I was exercising well. I did not have a pelvic floor therapist. I kind of wish I did. I may not be here if I didn't. But all to say, my diastasis recti, which was extreme, I think it was like a 8-finger one, or I don't even know how they, like, you do the fingers to see how much spacing you have. And for those of you that don't know, the diastasis recti is a separation of your abs after you have a baby. Everyone and their mother has it. Like, you don't have a baby. You don't get pregnant and have a baby and not have it. It just, everyone has it. Some have it more extremely than others. Some are able to heal it more than others. It just depends on the person. It depends on what you do after. It depends on your pregnancy. But you're going to have it. So for me, nothing was really healing. I was getting out to like 7 months and I would normally see something. A little bit of something happening, but it just seemed like I would lose weight around my belly, but like it was still just protruding all the time, right? And the skin was just skinning, which I actually just came to accept that that was just going to be my postpartum skin. What I didn't realize that was growing was my umbilical cord hernia. So I must have, I don't know when I developed that, but at my around my 6-week post-birth appointment when they're like, oh, you're great, you can have sex. What? Anyways, what? But anyways, I digress. But she had told me that there was a small hernia and that I should keep and be mindful of it, but to come back like in a couple weeks after just to see how it was doing. When I came back, it had grown like, I don't know how big it was. I don't know how big it was at the start to the finish. All I know is that when we realized it was a big problem, it was about the size of like a tennis ball or a golf ball. I know those are two different sizes, but in between those, it was bigger than a golf ball, smaller than a tennis ball, but it was substantial and it was blocking my ability to heal my diastasis recti. It was right there, smack dab in the middle of my ab separation. So there's no healing that, right? There's no moving past this hernia. So it became medically necessary for me to have this hernia removed, okay? So once I realized I had to go under to get this hernia removed, I was like, how the, who's going to do the surgery? And they just had like, you know, a regular general surgeon was going to do the procedure. And I was like, wait, could I get a plastic surgeon to do it? And while we under there, can they do a little nip and a tug for your girl? And that's when I decided to get a tummy tuck. Straight up, main reason I got a tummy tuck is because my girls had messed me up so much. My birth and my pregnancy messed me up so much where it was medically necessary to go under. So your girl was going to get the best and the brightest to do what it do. Simple as that. I don't know if I had to go under for a hernia removal, would I have opted for a cosmetic procedure? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. I've always kind of been interested in one for sure. And I don't fault anybody that just does it for cosmetic reasons. Yo, go do you, sis, like all the things. But for me, I don't know if I actually would have had it done had it not been already having to do a procedure already, right? So then I did some research. And one of the first things you're going to want to know when you are thinking about doing a tummy tuck is who are you going to do it with, right? Like you want to do your research. I got different opinions from 2 to 3 doctors. I think it was 3. I talked with 3. That was how many. Just to compare notes, when you're researching your doctor, not all plastic surgeons are built the same. Not all tummy tucks are built the same. Girl, do your research. Look at their patients. Ask for pictures. If they have a social media presence, look at those. If they don't, ask for pictures in their office. They take them, okay? Because you can find some people who don't know what they're doing, and then you get those botched surgeries. I mean, y'all, we all know what they look like. I mean, I hate to say it, but if you grew up in the 90s, we all know what Tara Reid's jaw looked like. And we were like, dang, what happened? Botched tummy tuck. You've all seen those like belly buttons that look like a little quarter slot. Boom, boom. At Chuck E. Cheese. You know what I mean? No shade. I'm just saying there's been some botched surgeries, right? So do your research. Find someone that does these procedures for bellies. You're going to find a million people that do boobs. Everybody does boobs. Don't look for a boob doctor and then say, oh, can you do this too? No, find someone that specializes in tummy tucks. They'll probably, if you want to get your boobs done too while you're under, they'll be able to do boobs. Everyone can do boobs. It's just like, it's just easier. But don't mess with the tummy tuck, okay? Find someone that knows what they're doing. Also, if you're brown or black, if you're black or Asian, I would say, we scar differently. So if you're looking for a doctor, you want to make sure they've had patients that look like us. They have experience with black skin. They've had experience with Asian skin because in particular, black and Asian skin, we're the #1 skin types to keloid when scarring. So you want a doctor that knows like what, I don't know what they be using, but there's certain doctors that do skin with that better and other ones that don't know about that. And they just be jacking you up and your scar can cause issues and nobody wants a scar. I'll get into the scars later. I know y'all are going there. Just wait. What else? The other thing I'd want to consider before getting a tummy tuck is A, you want to find the right doctor. You want to know that you understand the procedure. Make sure you're asking the questions about what you're going to endure. Like I said, I had a few creators I reached out to a while ago to try and talk to them about getting a tummy tuck. And they're like, well, I call it diastasis recti surgery. I don't like calling it a tummy tuck. I was like, but your skin is like, you don't have any more loose skin. So I know you got a tummy tuck. She's like, yeah, but it's just more accepted to call it diastasis recti surgery. That's not what that is. Like you can get just a diastasis recti surgery. For my girlies who are like, I have bad DR. I just want the surgery. Fine, you can actually get that done. It will never be, it's generally almost never covered by insurance. Again, my hernia was covered by insurance, but not my diastasis recti. My diastasis recti was covered only because it was so bad because of my hernia. The hernia was the reason. I don't think if I just had really bad DR that they would do it. I don't know why, like maybe because men are making all the rules, but they don't care about that. They're like, girl, bye, that's not a reason to have surgery kind of thing. So that will always be cosmetic, just so you know. And then the skin part, that's the tummy tuck. Like if you have loose skin, and I talk about this next week with Ashley now, where you can do all the right exercises to get your DR actually fixed without surgery. You could do all the things to get your fat level almost minuscule after having kids with diet and exercise. But what you can't do is fix your skin. That's all genetics. It really is. And you might see some of these influencers that like literally look like they never had kids. And either A, they had surgery and they're just not saying it, or B, they're younger and they just have great genetics. I didn't really have any issues after Jackson. I didn't really have loose skin at all. I was 23. So just know that everyone is different, but loose skin is not fixable. period without removing it. You can put oils and creams and things like that, and that might do something. You can even do maybe some laser. I think people actually can do laser and stuff like that, but diet and exercise do not heal loose skin, and that's what I'll say with that. That normally takes a tummy tuck. So just understanding the procedure, making sure you understand that. Another thing you want to consider is just like your body image, your self-esteem, your postpartum healing. Everyone wants to know when I got it done. So I got it done a year and some change, maybe 13 months, 14 months after I had my babies. My body image at that point, I was excited to get the tummy tuck, y'all. I was like, yes, but I didn't hate my body. Like I just was like, oh, it's different. But I wasn't like so like, I wasn't sad. I wasn't like very sad about it to the point where I was like, I have to get this done. If you do, if that's how you feel, that's fine too. But just make sure you have an accurate, healthy body image or an appreciation before going into it, because a tummy tuck or whatever cosmetic procedure you get, it's not going to make you feel like it's not, if you have other reasons why you're sad or low self-esteem, that's not going to fix it. You see what I'm saying? So just make sure you're understanding like what it is and what it isn't, because you will always find something to be upset about or have low self-esteem in if you haven't like done some inner work first. So understanding the emotional healing that needs to be done, understanding the postpartum healing. Like I said, I was a year out. I was no longer breastfeeding. You cannot be breastfeeding if you're going in for a tummy tuck. So it's like, that's too soon. I think the biggest thing you can't be doing if you're deciding to get a tummy tuck is planning to have more kids. What's the point? I mean, I understand the point. But if you're going to go through all this and you're going to hear about all the things you're going to go through, don't be like, oh, I just had one baby. I just want to look good. And then I'm going to have a couple more. No, girl, wait. Just wait. Do all the baby making you need to be doing and then decide what cosmetic procedures you want. But it's just a waste and it's a lot on your body. It's trauma for your body to cut it open and do things to it and then give birth and try and do it again. Just, you need to be done having kids. You need to be done breastfeeding. And another thing you need to also prepare for is like logistical. Who is going to help you? If you have a tummy tuck, I never had a C-section, but I have heard that it can be similar as far as like the recovery. Not, it's longer recovery like overall, but like those first three, like the first like week after where you can't lift things and stuff like that, that is all very true. It's odd because we send women home with C-sections all the time. We're like, oh, good luck. Don't lift anything. Here's your car seat with your baby in it. Just lift that though right now to your car. Like you may be like, yes, and you should forget about the maternal health system and how much we don't, like, let's not compare those two things, but you should have help. You should have logistical help because if you have babies, you're not going to be able to lift them. That was very hard for me. I could hug them and things like that, but you can't physically lift for a while after that. And I'll get into all the recovery stuff as well once we get to that part. Okay, now preparing. Oh, and one other thing that everybody wants to know with like preparing is like the insurance coverage. Everyone has questions on my insurance coverage. How'd you get your insurance to cover it? That took some time. You'll find surgeons that are like, I don't want the hassle, because it does depend on the surgeon. So like I said, it was surgically necessary for me to go under and get my hernia removed. That to me is a cost for the hospital stay, for the hospital bill. Like you pay for the room, right? You pay for a room at a hospital. You pay for anesthesia to go under and you pay for the doctor's time and the actual procedure. Those are like the four main costs that you pay for when you get a hospital bill. And they break up anesthesia and they break up the actual cost from the doctor. Those are two different things and every doctor is different. That's why you can find tummy tucks for this price or X price. I'll tell you what I paid. But for me, I had to find a surgeon that was willing to. It's almost like a timer. They get in there and they do the procedure that it's covered for. Boom. Right? And then the timer stops. And then from that moment on to whatever, like the tummy tuck, the stuff that's not covered, that's what I'm paying out of pocket. So it does require some different coding on your surgeon's end. You have to make sure you communicate that to your surgeon. You can't do it on the back end. They have to agree to it. And it requires them to do like, I think a stopwatch or something like that. So for us, my tummy tuck costs were like $14,000 total. And 8 of it was covered and 6 of it was not. So that's just how the breakdown was. I don't know why. It's probably because the anesthesia and the time and that stuff is already kind of baked into the first cost. But then everything, his time for the tummy tuck, which didn't take that long, is what cost the other part. I don't know. Like I said, this is just me giving my perspective on what I think happened. And it's also 3 years later and I'm a twin mom. So don't completely quote me on all this, but this is like, I'm pretty sure this is like how it kind of all went down. And that's how my insurance was able to like kind of cover some of it. Okay, now preparing for the procedure. You get your consultation. Like I said, find the surgeon you want. Make sure you shop around and figure out who you want and who you can afford. Make sure they're board certified is always a big thing, y'all. Try and find the board certified ones. I know they cost more, but you don't want somebody to be doing something weird and putting some cement or something. I don't know. I made the cement part up, but I do hear about girls getting BBLs with cement. So I'm just saying, don't go in the basement of somebody's house apartment somewhere. House apartment doesn't make any sense. But, you know, somewhere in the middle of nowhere with Joe Schmo and he's charging you like $2,000. No. No, don't do it. But do make sure you do your research to make sure they know what they're doing. They've gone through the proper, like, education for it, and they're a certified surgeon. There are great surgeons that aren't certified. I just feel like it's easier to weed out some. The board does the certification process, right? So you won't have to do as much research if they're already board certified. And again, like, mine costs this much, but depending on where you are, like, the plastic surgeon that I spoke to, Dr. Gabay from Beverly Hills, he was like, it can range from like somewhere for around 8,000 to like 50. I don't know why it's 50, but if you get other things done, or I don't even understand all the things, but it just depends on what you're getting done, who the surgeon is, and all that other stuff. So definitely shop around and see what you can do. And then have realistic expectations. This is something that I can't stress enough. People come to plastic surgeons with like different pictures of what they want. And it's like, if you like 75, don't show them a picture of Gwen Stefani's abs circa 1993. You ain't gonna get that, okay? You're not. I'm sorry, you're not. I mean, maybe the best surgeon in the world, I don't know, but it depends on the elasticity of your skin. It depends on the genetics that you have. It depends on the age that you are of what your results will look like. It depends on like your BMI. It depends on how much fat you're holding around there. It depends on so many different things. So just have realistic expectations and listen to what the surgeon says. If they say they can do the unthinkable, then like they probably are lying. So run. Like, you know what I mean? Just you should have a surgeon that can tell you no if you're asking for too much. That's a quality. That's like someone that is very knowledgeable. But just have your expectations like set. They also have, you know, like different lipo things where you can get like 7-pack abs. Like they literally draw in abs. Like there's certain surgeons to do that. You can't do that with a tummy tuck like on the first thing. That's just like lipo. So like I was told, because your girl was trying to explore all the things, I had to just get a regular tummy tuck and then show my real abs. But you could do all these different ones. But I do think that, don't call me on this, but if you're getting a tummy tuck for the first time, this like high definition ab lipo is really unsafe to do all in the same procedure. It takes like a double procedure. So if they're saying they can do that, maybe they can. Maybe times have changed. It's been like 2 to 3 years now. But just make sure you have realistic expectations of what you want. And yeah, and then make sure you budget it. You need to budget the cost for the procedure, but also the cost for the recovery. I didn't realize that there is a lot of recovery and massages that you should get post-op. Again, if you've ever seen someone with a bad tummy tuck or bad lipo and you see those little lumps, that's like scar tissue under their skin that was not either massaged out or at a very aggressive surgeon who didn't know what they were doing. Again, like I said, not every surgeon is made alike. Not every tummy tuck is made alike. What I was told is for a post-op, and I did this, I think I got like 10 massages, 10 to 12. But you go to these like lymphatic drainage post-op. They're like very much for everyone there basically had a surgery. There's some girls that come in with boob stuff, BBLs, all different things. But the tummy tuck and lipo stuff is where it's really, really, like you need to go get massages. And that is another like 1,200 to just make sure you're going to that weekly massaging. You can get the surgery without it, but it makes the results look way better when you get the massages. And most surgeons who know what they're talking about will actually tell you, and they'll have a place for you to go. They'll have someone that they already work with, but that was important. That plus the drains that I got, there was drains that some surgeons do drains, some surgeons don't. I hated the drains, but I was like, where did all this go? Like if I didn't have drains, where would this liquid stay in me? Like I can't imagine how that wouldn't, where all that liquid have gone. So I do think that it actually made for better results having the drains. And that's what my surgeon said, and I love my results. So drains, massages, just make sure those are things that you're accounting for after your surgery. Yeah, and then just making sure that when you're preparing for the surgery, you have your surgeon's appointment, you have key points you want to clarify, and any pre-surgery preparations, making sure that, again, your logistics and you've had your home taken care of, there's someone that is there to help with your kids, all that other good stuff. If you have a husband, it's just like, get all hands on deck, let him know, like maybe when he doesn't have work or something like that. I timed it around when Ryan was not on tour. But then he was on tour for part of it, and that sucked. I had to have my mom and my brother come over. I hated that, okay? But I did have someone taking my kids. My in-laws did, so there was that. Okay, and so the tummy tuck procedure, basically an overview of what happens. They take you to a room, you're under anesthesia, they give you like medicine the night before, and I think to calm your nerves, you get there, they undress you. He talks about what you're going to be doing to you, and they put some like markings on you. Like the surgeon will normally mark up your body. So when you're there, like when you're under, like he knows where to go. Like they see a bunch of people normally on the same day. And then you go under. And for me, it felt like I blinked and woke up, and I was already in like this like garment. When I woke up, I was in like a compression garment, which I was like so confused. The drains were already in me, and I was in a lot of pain. I didn't know what was happening. I felt like my husband was there at the time. Once you came out, or you called him when you come out, I don't remember. I was like, but it's hard. Anyone that's come out of anesthesia, that's what it's like. But I was in a lot of pain at first, and I was in compression garments, which I had to keep on. And I kept those compression garments on basically all the time, unless it was time to shower. But you don't even shower for like the first week. They tell you not to. They're like, you have to just keep this on. You can kind of like wipe it up. But for the most part, you're in the garment and you're just healing with these drains in for like a week. So when you get home, this is what recovery looked like. I'm in a lot of pain for the first like 3 days. I can't stand up all the way. So I haven't had a C-section, like I said. But like with C-sections, I feel like you're over, like you can't like stretch the scar. So you're kind of walking like an L or a, you know what I mean? Like you're walking like with a 90 degree angle. I had drains, like I said, so anywhere I go and have to hold these bags, you're emptying out the drains, right, for the first week. So for the first 2 to 3 days, you're really in a lot of pain. You go see your doctor. And then for that first week, you're emptying out the drains. It's still pretty painful. Then after that first week, I think that's when they take the drains out. It's like you have the drains in for 1 week. And once those drains come out, you have like a lot more mobility. And I remember that being the first like hint of recovery that I had. And things got a little better, right? And mind you, you can't lift anything. So the recovery physically is just really hard in that first week. But then after that, you're not being able to like lift things at least for like anything over 10 pounds for the first 4 weeks, I want to say. It was like 4 weeks where I wasn't able to lift the girls. Or maybe it was 3 weeks, y'all. I'm sorry. It was either 3 or 4 weeks where you're not lifting anything heavy and that's nothing over 10 pounds. So you really, if you have twins, you can't lift them. There's a couple times where the girls were very confused. It broke my heart, but I would get down and like hug them to console them, but there wasn't lifting. So for my mamas that have had C-sections, just think about that, but for an extended time period. You're not in as much pain. You actually kind of want, you think you can do stuff, but you shouldn't because you can cause some damage. So I didn't. And then I want to say by like the, let me look actually. I wrote it down. But yeah, like, actually, here, I wrote it down. The first week is like the rest is crucial. No mobility, very little mobility. You're doing the drains. You're like trying to like make sure you're going to avoid blood clots and heavy lifting or bending. Like this is the time if you don't do what you're supposed to do and don't do nothing, you're going to mess up your surgery. 2 to 4 weeks, like the pain is going down. The swelling is starting to decrease. You can do light activities. Like you could like walk a little bit around, but you really can't do that much. You shouldn't be lifting anything. You're going to be going to a couple of follow-up appointments. 4 to 6 weeks is when you can start lifting stuff that's like a kid. You don't have your drains anymore. You're still wearing your compression garments. And again, during this time, I'll link it, but there was a bunch of creams and this red light. I had this red light thing that I put over my stomach every night under my scar. And I tell you, my scar looks like almost minimal and I scar, I was surprised. But like during this time, there's this post-op vitamin I took, a couple of creams and this red light blanket, not blanket, but it's like, it's kind of like a blanket. You just put it on your belly. I was doing that religiously along with my compression garments. I will link all these things because those were crucial, that and massages to my recovery and how I looked, okay? And how like good the procedure looked after. 4 to 6 weeks, like you can start doing more activities though. Like you can walk out. Like I was driving and doing all that other stuff. It was pretty much, I was kind of back to normal, but I wasn't doing like hard exercise. I wasn't lifting too heavy. I could lift my girls, like I said. And then 6 to 12 weeks, like you are back kind of like doing intense workouts. There's certain workouts that I never really do anymore. I do now, but that took me like almost like 2 years. But like burpees, you know, it's just like the idea of doing a burpee. Like think about after a C-section, like would you want to do it? Just it feels like you're going to mess something up. So I did not do that for like a good year or 6 months after my surgery. Like it was not in the 6 to 12 when he's like, oh, you can exercise. I wasn't doing all the exercises. If it didn't feel right or I felt any sort of thing, I was like, nah, sis, I'm good. Right. You know what I mean? And then it takes like almost like from 3 months to a year, you're still healing. You don't really see the full results of your tummy tuck and fully healed until like a year or a year and a half. So it's a slow process to recovery. Don't overdo anything right after your body just went under a major surgery and you are going to be healing for that long. Now, again, you won't be noticing that you're healing once it gets to like month 3, 4, 5, 6. But like my results, if I were to look at pictures of a year post-op, versus 3 months post-op, when they start saying you can do most things, it's very different. And then there's some girls that wear their compression garments all the time. I did mine for maybe like 6 months, like when I would sleep. And I don't know if that's good for you. I actually wouldn't suggest that because it might not be good for you. Actually, me and Ashley now talk about it next week. I actually pretty much you're not supposed to wear those, like especially postpartum. But post-op, yeah, they want you to wear it if you want that like hourglass figure. And it definitely did give me the hourglass figure. I don't know what I messed up though. So I'm just telling y'all, again, I'm not a doctor, I'm just telling y'all what I know. But there's some girls that I know that, like, I met at the massage place after that were, like, wearing it. They're like, oh, I never take mine off. I wear it every year, like, for, like, 10, 12 years. I'm like, okay, girl, that's a lot. Like, I get uncomfortable in my bra. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be in a compression garment. But anyways, I digress. Okay, what else? What else with tummy tuck stuff? Yeah, so I talked a little bit about recovery. Post-procedure, again, like, I'm telling you, massages, they are not something that I think are optional. You can make them optional, but they're the difference between, like, a Tara Reid belly and, like, I don't know who else got a tummy tuck, but I'm sure there's just people that have. I don't even know. I can't, like, say because nobody talks about what they get, so it's hard to say. But those lumpiness, those happen when the scar tissue is not smoothed out right after a procedure. And you only have a small time frame to do it. Like, it's always right after. That's when you get the most bang for your buck. So it's painful. Oh, yeah. Those are really painful. They were, like, almost as painful as the procedure of recovery. Like, not during the procedure because I was asleep. But after, I was in a lot of pain. And during those massages in that first week, I was in so... It's hurtful. They're pushing on where you just got surgery. They're, like, massaging around scars. You know what I mean? So just prepare for that. I wish I had known how painful they would be because they were very painful. And you're not really supposed to take, like, ton of painkillers during them. Like, I don't know why, but you wait till after they take the pain meds. I don't know, but just know that they're painful. I'm not gonna lie. And then I had a couple like Q&A, so let me go through these and make sure I'm answering any of them. A bunch of you guys had questions about my insurance, how it was covered, the recovery. I feel like I answered about having kids after. No, girl, no. There, the Dr. Gabe I spoke with like a few episodes back, he was saying that he one time did surgery on a patient, and then like the next 3 months, like she was pregnant again because she looked so good. And yes, you look, I love my body. I loved my body before, but I do not regret my decision at all. If anything, I think I want to get like a breast reduction. I'm all about like going, like just being less uncomfortable sometimes with my body. And if you've had big breasts your whole life, which I have, and they breastfeed twins, like my back just hurts, my bra, like this indent. So like it gives you like actual like little indents and like bruises permanently and marks where you have your bra. So I don't know why I was like just explaining this or when I digress. But basically, if you do have a tummy tuck and you do something after, just know that like don't have kids anymore. Like that, you're done with that. And if you're looking to get your boobs done and things like that, there's a lot more doctors that are available for that. Boob implants are like dime a dozen. Those are easy. Breast reduction surgery, I'm like researching it now, is a lot harder to find people that know what the hell they're doing because your scars can get messed up. It's a more delicate procedure. So again, I'll give an update if I actually get my breasts reduced. Jess King, if you listen to this last episode, actually announced that she got a breast reduction on my podcast. She had never gone publicly with it, said she doesn't regret it at all. This is why I'm actually thinking of it again, just because like your girl is just uncomfortable. And now if I can have A's, I'm not even lying. Y'all think I'm lying. I would have them. My husband's in the building. He's probably gonna be pissed, but I would take them over what I got right now. So more to come there if I decide to do that. And yeah, I think that like, I guess for final thoughts, advice, like if I reflect on my journey, A, do I regret it? Absolutely not. I absolutely do not regret getting my tummy tuck. It is, as moms, we seldom do things that are selfish or like specifically for us. And again, I was kind of forced to do it because I had a medical necessary reason to go under because my birth was a little bit of trauma and broke me, literally. But I still did it. And I'm so glad I decided to do that. Was there mom guilt? Yes. I did feel terrible in those first few weeks when I couldn't lift my girls. And they were confused. They were like one. So there's not even telling them what's happening, right? I like that I did it really early on because I think if I waited, I just would have like accepted the struggle, accepted like suffering in silence kind of thing and just not made it a priority. Similar, like if you move into a new house, if you have the luxury of doing stuff to it. If you don't do it right away, you ain't going to do it later, because we're in that now. We didn't do a couple things and now we're just living in it. I'm like, you know what? Guess I'm never going to do it. You know what I mean? So it's like, I just wanted to get it done once I knew that like insurance was going to pay for it. I was like, let me just get on this now, because I don't know what it's going to be like next year, if I'm going to have the same insurance, like all these different things. I actually knew I was leaving my job, honestly. I remember thinking like, I have to do it this year under this insurance, and because I didn't know what my insurance was going to look like as a creator. So that was another reason why I kind of pushed the process so early on. But yes, I felt guilty, but that only lasted for as long as it lasted. And now fast forward, that guilt is gone, just like we have with everything. It's and my kids are fine. Are they traumatized by the fact that mommy couldn't pick them up when daddy was right there for whatever reason for that time when they were 13 months old? No, they are not. They are fine. Okay. And your girl's living her Aaliyah dreams of wearing little tube tops and like bikini out. Nobody can tell me nothing about my belly, okay? Call me Britney circa 2003, okay? Call me Aaliyah circa whatever. You know what I mean? That is me now. And nobody's going to tell me nothing about it. So I highly recommend. But yeah, I will put all the links and like the products that I use. Like I said, there was like a cream, there were some vitamins and this red light thing that were really helpful in my recovery. I know y'all want to see the scars. Maybe I'll find some photos and post them on my Instagram, or maybe I'll link them here of just before and after. Oh gosh, my thing keeps on doing this. Of just what my phone, y'all, I'm recording and it keeps on going off. But I'll like post of what my scarring looks like. I also use like the specific cream on one part and not on the other, and it's so different. Like there's two parts I didn't use them on, and the scar is like night and day. So I'll also link that. But yeah, I hope this was helpful. If y'all still have questions about this and you want me to talk more about it, let me know. But this is everything I could think of and remember to tell you that I wish I'd known, and what had happened and what is happening now with regards to my tummy tuck. So I hope y'all enjoy, and I'll see you next time on the next episode of That Twin Mama Podcast.
Peace!
And that is it for today's episode of That Twin Mama Podcast. But before we bounce, I'm going to leave y'all with two requests. The first is, if you are enjoying this podcast, please follow along and leave us a 5-star review on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify, whichever your preferred platform is. These ratings do a lot for our engagement, but also gives us the inspiration, the push to keep on showing up for you all week after week with some great content that we are sure you're going to enjoy. And secondly, follow us on our socials. You can find me at That Twin Mama Podcast on Instagram and at That Twin Mama on YouTube. On Instagram, you'll see a lot of short form versions of these videos, but a lot of content that relates to the subject matter week after week that I am sure you're going to love. So until then, again, thank you for showing up. Thank you for all your support. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Peace, y'all.
My education would cost $42,000, but with VA benefits, I'm paying zero. VA covers my tuition, supplies, and housing, and it can cover yours too. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.